response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
That, yeah. It is a great show. Great song. Welcome back, Midday Show.
And a great show.
It is a great show.
Great show, great song. Not a great Phillies game last night, unfortunately. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Your second clue for Hugh's Clues is coming here in just a second. But Hugh, Phillies lose last night. Durán blows his first save of the season.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And listen, that's when you're as good of a closer as Durán is and you've been as dominant, it happens. And he didn't even get hit last night. I mean, that was... If there's one thing with Durán that does concern me in big moments, he throws wild. He has wildness, right? There's wild pitches and that advances runners. That's really why they got those runs last night, both of them, because the guys moved around the base with the wild pitch. He had that in October too, but I mean, he's been great. I don't blame him really for last night. It happens. The issue is they didn't score enough, right? They had another game where they were trying to walk that tightrope of not scoring. And Hugh, we expect this at this point. And we keep looking for solutions and we keep looking for answers. And, you know, I heard the afternoon show yesterday wondering if we could now start to dream on Adolis Garcia. And when Boehm gets hot for a week and a half, it's like, oh, maybe it's him. The answer to the Phillies' problems is there if we just acknowledge it's a problem. This is, Hugh, if this offense is going to improve, it's not about if Garcia is going to become great again. He's not. Now, he might, you know, kind of level out. It's not about Alec Boehm being great. He's never been great. The only way this offense really gets moving and sustains is if Trey Turner wakes up. I mean, that last at-bat last night was crap. Most of his at-bats this year have been crap. We have a Trey Turner problem. And it's like, I almost am amazed at how little that people have acknowledged it this year. If you look at the numbers, and we looked at them this morning, his numbers this year, you know, on June 10th, are worse than they were in 2023, his first year here, when all we talked about was Trey, because he was new and he just got the contract and we expected so much. And it's not even close. So on June 10th, through 66 games in his first year here, Trey Turner had a 691 OPS and a 249 batting average. Neither good, but compared to now, he's hitting 226. So he's 23 points below that. And his OPS is 623. We've got a Trey Turner problem. They need him. We keep saying Boehm, Garcia, Stott, Real Muto. No. They need Trey Turner to wake up. Otherwise, I just don't see how the offense could ever be what we want it to be.
Yeah, and you talk about what he was, what is it, last year. Last year he was pretty good. Yeah, that's the problem that you're having. And last night, defensively, he missed a couple plays out there yesterday. He needs to play better. No question about that.
All right, well, here's the question. I mean, how concerned are we with this? And do we think it's going to turn around? I mean, again, I can't see the path to their offense being good without him being better. You know, they could add someone at the trade deadline. We're going to come up with a bunch of names over the next month, and that guy certainly could help. But it all only works if Trey Turner gets going. Hugh, I'm concerned because it's when I watch him, I don't know what he's trying to be at the plate. Last year, he committed to being more of an average hitter, going the other way, winning the batting
and he benefited,
title.
Benefited from that tremendously.
This year, he feels like he's gone away from that a little bit, trying to lift the ball again the way he did earlier in his career, but he just looks in between to me. He's not hitting the ball very hard. He's not hitting the ball with extreme power. He's not getting base hits. I just don't know what he does well right now, besides run, which he always runs well, and he always probably will run well. But Hugh, I'm pretty concerned we're just not this. He's not just going to snap out of this the way he has in the past.
Well, you know what's funny? It's you're talking about somebody snapping out of it. Now it looks like Adolis Garcia is starting to turn the corner a little bit. It's just unfortunate that when we talk about some of these players for this team in particular, it just takes them a while to move to get out of the slumps that they're in longer than we would like them to as fans. And I think that's kind of the same thing with Trey. Because like you said, Joe, since the time he's been here, he's been up and down. He had a bounce back year last year and kind of regressed this year.
Yep.
Hopefully this year he could be somewhere in the middle of what you would like him to be. But it's unfortunate for us that when it comes to some of these players, it just takes a while for us to get there with
them. Well, it does. And you know, with Trey, it's taken a lot. I mean, the whole season, he just hasn't gotten going at all. He had the two home runs last week in San Diego. And I thought maybe this is the hot streak, because he could do that. He could get really hot. We saw it in 23. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have a month where he hits a bunch of home runs, doubles, triples, and he looks good. I thought maybe as they got through that San Diego series, it's coming. But since then, no. And Hugh, the other part that makes it hard now for Don Mattingly is he switched the lineup, right? He put Schwarber at one, he put Turner at two. But the more that Trey struggles, I'm noticing less pitches that Schwarber's getting to hit. So we're trying to get Trey going. We're trying to, you know, not make him the leadoff hitter because we don't want to give as many at-bats. But I actually think it's had a negative effect on Schwarber because he's gone to the leadoff spot. And now these pitchers are like, I'm not pitching to Kyle Schwarber. Trey Turner's behind him. So I think it's hurting Schwarber as well as it's hurting Trey Turner. 215-592-9494. Kyle, we got a Trey Turner issue again.
Well, just think about what it would do for the lineup if he got going, or at least was some semblance of even the Trey from last year.
Yep.
I mean, because Marcia stepped up, maybe Adolis Garcia is heating up a little bit. Like, that's just a third. Really, you're talking about three righties in the lineup that are solid. Like, that just makes the lineup look deeper when Trey's hitting well, just because of what those other two guys are doing. Like, he's a big Trey Turner-sized hole at the top of the lineup.
So let's just play out Kyle's scenario. Let's say Trey gets going. Mm-hmm. And we know Marsh has hit like an all-star. We know Bryce has been really good. And we know, you know, Schwarber leads the league in home runs. If you then got another bat at the deadline, you'd have yourself a lineup.
You have a nice little formidable lineup. Yeah. Formidable lineup, yeah.
No question. It even makes you feel... It's less of a need at the deadline if Trey gets going. I mean, because we talked about the bat versus the pitching.
Mm-hmm.
Adolis Garcia, you could almost talk yourself into being, like, if he really starts to heat up, that's similar to a trade deadline acquisition.
Sure.
Or at least, you know, you could see Dave up there spinning it that way.
Yeah, I could.
But then you're talking about, you know, instead of a guy who you need to play every day as a righty in your lineup, you can get a platoon guy. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like, it changes what you need.
Well, but if Trey doesn't get going, you need a real bat.
You very much need it.
Well, I'm at the point now where, like, let's say they land a really good right-handed bat. You know, for me, it's Mike Trout. You might have a different name you like. You know where I would put that bat in the lineup? Like, Hugh, if we got Mike Trout or anyone like Mike Trout tomorrow, I'd put him in Trey's spot. I would go Schwarber, Trout, or, you know, name your acquisition at the trade deadline if you don't, you're not a Mike Trout person. I would go Schwarber, the acquisition they make, Harper, Marsh. Like, they're at the point now with the way Trey's hitting. They have to replace Trey's spot in the lineup. They're getting nothing out of the second hole. They need him to wake up and immediately if this offense is going to be good enough. 215-592-9494 for your take on Trey. Tough night for the Phillies to blow that game. And Wheeler pitched well again. And, you know, the bullpen leading up to Duran was good enough last night. But unfortunately, Duran had a tough night, and they just didn't score enough. And the Trey stuff is just driving me crazy. Your take on Trey and Jalen Hurts as he goes through the summer. They'll have another practice today, and then it'll be off to training camp July, August. Does it matter how he plays in practice? It does for me. It doesn't as much for Hugh. Where do you come down? 215-592-949 for Hugh. Why don't you give everyone a second clue?
Second clue is I played the first version of this video game, and I didn't like it.
Ooh, that kind of now we're going along with Hugh Douglas thinks. So it's a franchise been around
It's a hell of a franchise. I just didn't like the first game.
Okay, all right. So we have a couple clues out for you for Hugh's clues, and the winner today wins the tickets.
Well, so now we know it's a game.
We do. Okay. Yeah, it's a game Hugh didn't like.
Yeah,
the first version. All right, my lot of concert listening. Tickets.
Maybe if you played it with a clan.
Well, I'm saying gave him a hint, like at the beginning of the show when I was talking about video games. I mean, you got, you know, context clues.
You thought that would give it away.
Yeah.
But the Daily Douglas doesn't always pertain to the Houston.
In fact, a lot of times it pertains to nothing.
Yeah. It's nonsensical most times.
Yeah. Like the show. All right, let's go to Kenny, who's up on WIP. Kenny?
Yo, guys, I might even have the answer to that, but I'm not going to answer it because you, guess what? Me and you were on the same vibe a lot of times. I'm a video game playing comic book kid, actually, too, and I'm in my 50s. I spank them online, Xbox and computer. But back to my points here.
Yes.
I'm agreeing with Joe on this, and I want to continue our little debate on yesterday that we had about Sirianni, and I got to leave you with something, guys. First, you. I agree with Joe on this. It all matters. It all matters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like when that woman says size don't matter, read the room. That matters, too. It does matter, and we better focus on this year because there's a lot of inconsistencies, man. There are. I was a comic book kid. Remember What If line? What if?
You talking about
what if Jalen Carter?
I know what you're talking about. The What Ifs. Yeah, mm-hmm. Marvel.
Yeah. Oh, come on, yo, dude. Listen, I go to Marvel 2-in-1s. I'm old school. I was born in 70. I'm comic book kid. Oh,
that's older than
you. Video game. No, I'm for real. But I could school you on all those things because I've done it my whole life. But back to my point. Wow, I just lost my. Oh yeah, my.
No, I do that every day. Don't worry about it. Gather your thoughts and come back to it. You got it.
Yep. My what if was this? What if Jalen Carter didn't make that sack?
Yeah, that's you're talking about to win. You're talking about against the Rams to take attendance to the Super Bowl. Joe's done that a lot of times, but you know what? He did. And history is written the way that it's been written.
No,
but yeah, I get
it.
I definitely get it.
No. Well, I learned something. One thing in all things, seek wisdom. So I learned something within that little thing there. Sometimes those are little life lessons, though, because something was going on there. There was definitely some conversation about taking the wide receiver over the quarterback. And to me, that raised my neck again like a turkey. I mean, these things raise radars. Just like, I'm going to tell you, just like, what was it, Harry Douglas yesterday?
Yes.
He kicked some facts, actually, that really woke me up. I'm going to tell you, people listen to this stuff, because he said Sean Mannion has got some stuff going on that no one ever had under Sirianni. And that's one of my arguments there. Nah, come on, man, the writing's on the wall. Read the room. One thing, listen to this. What does he say? Culture?
Yeah, culture center.
Culture hasn't always been cultured, has it?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, not last year, Kenny. Good phone call, man. We appreciate you.
Give you something to think about.
I like the mic drops from Kenny. He always ends with something really good there. To me, it all matters. The way Jalen plays each practice and it builds. I'm not panicking over yesterday. Like, it's not a big deal. Yesterday, he didn't play particularly well, and the offense is behind the defense. That is expected. It is logical. It makes sense. But I'll put it this way. I can't wait to find out how he plays today. And then day one of training camp, and then day two of training camp, and then it just builds. And I need to see and hope to see improvement. And here's what I would love to do, Hugh. I would love to come in here the day training camp ends, August 17th or whatever, and say, man, by our eyes, because you and I get to be there a lot during the August portion of things, and we do our shows from there, and everything I heard from Elliot and the people that cover the team, Jalen really got better and better and better and better. I would love to say that. And I will come in here, if he does, and say, I think he's ready to go, and this offense is going to be better than we think early. But if it's the opposite, I have to say the opposite, right? Like, if he struggles the whole time, then I have to say this matters, and this might not work out the way we want.
You know what? I think when I said what I said, I think people misunderstood it. Like, it's your right to.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Scrutinize Jalen in this. Like, that's I'm not arguing that. I just think that the level is a lot higher than it has been in the past, because every year there has been a new offense that has been implemented. And the defense has always been ahead of the offense, even if the offense was the same. That's just a timing thing. I just think that the biggest thing right now is that and I get that because of everything that has happened. It's just brought more to light now, because I would guarantee you that every offense struggles in the first day. I guarantee you, if the Rams had their first OTAs,
wow,
that
May didn't struggle yesterday.
No, I'm just saying there might be some struggling involved.
Well, okay, maybe. I mean, sure.
Then you're talking about Drake May. You're talking about Drake May being an offense that he's been in for a while.
No, yeah, sure, yeah. But that's,
and they're just trying to get AJ up to speed, or the other Doucette.
Yeah,
they're trying to get them up to speed.
There's reasons for everything that happens in all these camps and practices and all that. I do think Elliot hit on something, Hugh, when he was with us about the Jalen thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are worried.
No, yeah, and that's fair, Joe. That is fair, because, like I said, there's been a lot of consternation, trepidation, whatever dations you want to put in this last offseason, where people are feeling some kind of way about moving forward. Because whether we admit it or not, there was a decision that was made, and they chose the quarterback over the receiver. Because everybody that we've talked to told you flat out that they don't know what this offense is going to look like without that receiver.
Right.
So now we have to move on from that. And the first day didn't look that great.
So, but didn't. I'll add this. I think when Elliot said people deep down are concerned, it made me think about, like, if they weren't concerned, wouldn't the reaction to all this be, this is laughable. He'll be fine. He's been doing this every year. He's consistent every year. He's fine. Like, if there was a practice report out of Buffalo that Josh Allen had a bad day, my guess is people around the league or their fans would say, who cares? Like, we know what he'll be in September.
Yeah.
What I'm hearing more is, well, the defense is great. Well, it's the first day. Well, it's a new offense.
The
well, it's
I
this.
Word.
Yeah.
Insecurity.
There's a ton of insecurity. And understandable insecurity.
I agree.
I'm insecure. I'm fully insecure. Hugh, you insecure?
No, I'm not
Hugh.
Insecure. Definitely not insecure.
Don't lie to the people.
Insecure.
About Jalen.
No.
Yeah, you
I
won't even need a
blizzard. I didn't know how this is going to play out.
You tell us.
It's going to play out. It's going to play out uh-huh. the way it play out.
Oh, thank you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
How's that?
Because I have vision.
No, how is it going to play out?
How's it going to play out? It's just going to play out. There's going to be some growing pains. Oh.
You're insecure. It's not a big deal.
No, I'm not insecure. Insecure sounds so bad.
Well, this whole entire city's insecure right
no,
now.
No, a little bit. Everybody in their feelings a little bit. Everybody a little tight.
It's okay to be insecure. It's very natural.
Don't hide from your feelings.
Yeah, come on, you.
I'll never hide from my feelings.
This is a safe space.
Oh, come
very
on.
Confident.
You won't drink the good nut. You won't eat a glizzy.
Definitely not drinking a good nut.
You are running from your true feelings.
I was not prepared for him to say that.
A real man would eat a glizzy live on camera, drink a good nut, and say
that. And down the good nut.
Drink the good nut is bananas. No, I'm not doing that.
It's Tom Brady's company. What's wrong with you? Just eat a hot dog like a grown-up.
See, a secure man would drink the good nut.
Yes.
I was not prepared for that.
I think the next step is we order three good nuts right on the air.
I agree. Yeah. Damn if I drink that.
Come on, Hugh. Mm-hmm.
I will guzzle the good nut.
Let's go to Frank and Galloway. What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys.
Hey,
what's
Frank?
Up, man?
How you doing today?
Good, Frank. What are you thinking?
Not much. I mean, I think you're going to hear this a little more frequently than you're going to hear, oh, yeah, he looks great. I mean, again, he's. You know, you're asking a quarterback who wasn't even doing anything remotely close to running this kind of offense. It's not like minor tweaks. I mean, he would drop back, you know, he looks for the run and he runs to the right or throws it out of bounds a lot. And, you know, this team was really bad with three and outs. First of all, they got to just control the ball better. So there's a lot of issues going on here. It's not like some minor tweaking. So, you know, I'm surprised that they're saying he's missing on deep balls. Maybe it has something to do with, you know, the whole timing thing. But, you know, I just think he's going to fare average in this. I think he's going to, you know, he's a competitor. And, it's not going to be the second coming of Joe Montana with this, I tell you that. And, you know, he's probably just going to stay right where he's at, around, you know, middle of the pack on the offense. The passing game might improve because it couldn't really get too much worse. But you did lose a star receiver, which – you know, people want to sit there and put that under the carpet, like, oh, AJ this, AJ that. But AJ was saying things that people should have been really listening to and waking up. And, you know, management, I think, in my opinion, should have tried to address that issue when it first started, because this receiver was right. I mean, he might have went out, you know, a little sour and pouting, reading books and stuff, but he didn't just make up stuff. I mean, what he's saying, you know, has deep meanings. So, what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, Hugh, for years we've been talking about this, that AJ may have been correct. It just was a matter of how he went about what he said.
Yeah, I think the biggest argument that most people have is the fact that AJ said it. I never had a problem with him saying it because I feel like it needed to be said, but a lot of people had a problem. It was him, and it was not his place to do it. But I didn't have a problem with what he said.
Frank, what's your guess for Hugh's clues?
I wasn't, guys, I'm over here doing some work on the phone, and I just was on hold, so I really didn't, I wasn't paying attention. My bad.
You got it, Frank. Appreciate it. This is a bad look for you.
No, it's not. It's not a bad look for me. He wasn't paying attention. I mean, he didn't want to give a guess. I mean, that's fine.
Well.
That means your clues aren't compelling enough for people to lock in on.
What are you talking about?
If he wasn't paying attention, that means you didn't grab him.
He didn't want to go. I did.
He's the audience. You have to hook the audience.
The audience is hooked, just not Frank. Frank wasn't trying to be hooked.
Okay.
Are you blaming Frank?
Nah, a little bit.
Okay.
He said he wasn't paying attention. Most people that listen to this show, they're locked
You're
in.
You're trying to blame the hookie. I'm blaming the hooker.
215-592-9494.
We're all adults here. I've been on my best behavior.
You have for now.
About 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's why you won't let us order any more glizzies or any good nuts around here.
No good
nuts. 215-592-9494. You can get in this with all your phone calls. Does it matter how Jalen performs in practice this summer? It does for me. Hugh saying, blame the media. Do the Phillies have a Trey Turner problem? And does it matter to you here about the Hurts thing? All right, coming up. It is Top 11 week coming up next week, and Kyle workshopped something with us off the air. We got to bring to the air.
Well, I'm no longer workshopping it. I did it. Well, I've submitted my top 11.
He pulled the trigger. I need to send mine in because he gave me
And Kyle is dead wrong on this. It's against the rules, so it's against my rules. All right, we're going to hit that next. Your phone calls. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. The finals are here, and both teams are set. Now you could trade every game on Kalshi. Game four tonight, the Spurs and the Knicks. The Spurs trading at 47% to win tonight. $100 trade on the Spurs pays out a pretty good amount. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in the live market. No house, no odds, no odds makers. And as the odds move, you could buy in or out anytime. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. KALSHI. Kalshi, trade on anything.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fischer and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays, and now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.